So, Invisible Children, an organization of which you know is near and dear to my heart, this grassroots movement of young people who are convinced to eliminate the threat of the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA, from terrorizing African nations. They were here in town this weekend, and they came to lobby to talk with senators and representatives of the states that they came from. I was downtown on Friday lobbying with them, and there were not only people who came from every state to lobby. We had international guests. One young woman traveled all the way from Australia to be here to support this cause, to try and convince our nation's leaders to continue on in their efforts to support the Central African nations to end the longest running war in Africa. Now, for those of you who might not know about Invisible Children, the organization emerged from a real relationship. Jason Russell and two colleagues went to Africa in 2003, and there they met a young child named Jacob, a young child who at the time was forced to night commute with hundreds of other children sleeping in city basements for their safety, escaping their villages at night and entering into the city so that they would be safe from LRA attacks. But mind you, they were traveling as young children, 3, 4, 5, all on through 10 or 12. I mean, that's the ages of these young children traveling for hours to night commute so that they could sleep safely at night, every single night. It was at that time that Jason Russell made a promise he has kept. He told Jacob, "We will not forget you. We will help you." So Invisible Children has worked diligently as the LRA has moved out of Uganda now and into the Congo and DAR and South Sudan, and they continue to build relationships to unite in efforts to help the people of Africa end this war. Infrastructure like radio stations, rehabilitative programs, schools, and business programs have been the results of their work. This year, there have been 408 abductions, 47 civilian deaths, and because of the defection campaign that was led and carried out by Invisible Children, 314 have returned to their villages from LRA involvement. This weekend, Invisible Children resolved once again to stop at nothing. The war has not ended yet. We are not there yet. Have you ever been told that something better was coming and then lived without it for years? Right down the street, we serve the homeless on Route 1. The hypothermia units every single winter are full, and we see the same people coming back to serve year after year. They have a hot meal. They have a place to stay on a cold night. Fairfax County has several organizations and churches working to eliminate homelessness. Many people are working tirelessly, believing that something better is coming. But we're not there yet. Or the retired couple who just begins to enjoy life, believing that something better was coming, and then comes the cancer diagnosis, or the heart attack, or the loss of their spouse, their life partner. Not there yet, either. Do we ever get to the place that we hope for? We sound like children in the family station wagon on the way to the grandmother's house for Thanksgiving dinner. We know that something good is coming. Are we there yet? Hannah was loved by her husband. Elkanah loved Hannah so much that he gave her a double portion of the ritual meal there at Shiloh. This was a public pronouncement of his clear favor for Hannah, his love for her. And Hannah didn't eat. She suffered the torment of her community, unable to bear children. She suffered the taunting of Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, who produced children easily and often. Hannah never responded to those who irritated her, those who rubbed the salt in her wound. She suffered silently. Elkanah asks Hannah, "Aren't I enough? Aren't I better than 10 sons? Hannah leaves the sacrificial meal without eating. It says she goes to present herself to the Lord. There is nothing for her but a yearning to fulfill her deepest dream, a yearning for her desire to be a mother, to bear children for Elkanah. The scriptures say twice that the Lord had closed her womb. Hannah went to the temple to pray, and she passed by the priest who was sitting at the door of the temple. She went in directly to speak to God, to pray directly to God. Do you know how unusual that was for a woman in her time? She entered into that temple to pour out her heart to God. Few women would ever bypass a priest. Remember, the priest was the one that was kind of the mediator between the people and God. But there Eli watched Hannah. And while Hannah poured herself out to God, the priest watched from a distance. And it says in the scripture that he thought she was drunk. He thought she looked crazy. Verse 10, it says, Hannah was there weeping bitterly. I wonder if it looks like that today when people are pouring their heart out to God, when their deepest desires are they're bringing their deepest desires before God to ask God to fulfill their deepest dream. It's been said that invisible children looks a little crazy, right? Working to fulfill the deepest dream doesn't always look acceptable to others. So Hannah ends her prayer weeping bitterly. According to a book that was published in around the year 2003, it was a book about burnout, how to beat burnout. There are five causes of bitterness. We're bitter because we're jealous. We're jealous of maybe what someone else has. We're jealous. We have the wrong motives for whatever that desire is on our heart. Secondly, we're bitter because we give the wrong response to things that happen to us in life. Things happen to us in life, especially the irritating things, and we become a victim. That's a wrong response. In other words, as we play out that victim role, we are not being fully who God is calling us to be. It's our response to adversity that keeps us bitter. Thirdly, we respond with bitterness because we don't know how to love unconditionally. You know, there are those who say that they believe in unconditional love and they believe they can offer unconditional love. But I don't know. Unconditional love's a pretty tall order. I know that God, our God and Savior, does that well. He loves us no matter what. But are we truly able to love others no matter what, even when we feel hurt? Or we're bitter because we don't understand the cause of our conflict. We don't understand enough what it is that's making us feel so lousy, and so we lash out at other things, laying blame in the wrong places. And so the fifth way that might cause our bitterness is because we have an unforgiving spirit. We just don't know how to forgive those irritations. Maybe don't know how to forgive the words that were spoken that never should have left one's mouth. I ask myself, if I was a mother of a child in the Congo or South Sudan today, whose child had been abducted by the LRA, would I be bitter? Bitterness stems from this inability to love unconditionally, our inability to forgive. So Hannah wept bitterly, and then she made a deal with God. She made a deal with God. She made a deal that if God would grant her this one opportunity to have a child, a son, that she would dedicate that son to God. Do your prayers ask for something that you are willing to give back entirely to God? To give the whole thing back to God? Are we there yet? Jesus told a parable that says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, and when he found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Hannah sold all that she had. She gave her heart. She even gave the anger and the bitterness to God. She poured out her heart, the good, the bad, and the ugly in that temple. If when she had poured all of that out, perhaps she would be empty enough for God to fill her. Perhaps she would be empty enough to trust in God alone. Mind you, again, this act of faithfulness on Hannah's part looks crazy. The priest Eli accused Hannah of being drunk. And even more crazy is this deal that Hannah cut with God. She asked for a son, but she promised to dedicate him back to God. Do you see what this gets at? The answer to prayer that we are looking for must be for God and God alone. The answer to prayer that we are looking for must be for God and for God alone. Are we there yet? We have concerns about where our lives are going. We have unmet needs. We have unfulfilled relationships. There is suffering all around us. The church has her own set of concerns for extending and sharing the gospel in our world. Are we ready to give all that we ask back to God? Eli, the temple priest, answered Hannah, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked him." And Hannah said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went her way, she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She has not even had the answer to her prayer yet. She is living in the deepest part of her desire. She has given it to God. She goes and she eats. She goes her way, and her face was no longer downcast. Here's the thing. We are not there yet. And still, we are fed, and we are nourished, and still, we are able to love and be loved because of Jesus Christ. Hannah began to eat and to love again, even before God answered her prayer. Perhaps Hannah went to Elkanah and answered his question, "Aren't I enough? Aren't I better than 10 sons?" Maybe she said, "Yes, yes. You are." She found the sufficiency of God's grace in her understanding and in her waiting on God alone. Those words, "God's grace is sufficient," sometimes are difficult words to grasp, aren't they? It is most often our understanding and our motives and our loving that is not sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. It is us. It is our misunderstanding, our lack of pure motive, our inability to love that makes it not sufficient. God invites us to offer prayers whose answers are dedicated back to God alone. God is a possessive God, and God wants our faith in His goodness. We enter into this covenantal relationship with God, which means we too are to follow up on the promises that we make to God. Invisible Children stand for the rights of children and their families in Africa. Fairfax County organizations and churches work to end homelessness. And each one of us is working toward the end of some kind of suffering that we care about. And while we aren't there yet, I leave you with this one encouraging and true story. Booker T. Washington, in his autobiography, Up From Slavery, tells the story of an African-American slave he met. And he met him about 2 or 3 years just before the Emancipation Proclamation. That was 1863. So just before, a couple years before that, he meets this man. And this particular slave was permitted by his owner to purchase his own freedom. So he could pay his way out to freedom. He literally bought himself. How ridiculous is that, right? He bought himself so that he could go and work where he pleased. So he did some research and found that the wages were reasonable in Ohio and thought that he could make a good living there. So he went and he began to save money to pay for his freedom. Well, 2 years later, after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, he was under no obligation to his previous owner. He was under no obligation to pay that debt. And he walked all the way from Ohio to Virginia to place the last dollar with interest into his previous master's hands. He kept his promise. He was no longer a slave. He was a man with integrity, living in the fullness of who God created him to be. Well, we may not be there yet, but we have been granted the gift of full life through Jesus Christ, through the promise of God's grace and forgiveness. We are free. Like Hannah, we may not have the answer to our most fervent prayers, but we are still to live and love in the fullness of life. Love is not bound to oppression in its many forms, be them social or economic or political. Love is not bound by illness or death. Love overcomes the discouraging voices in our lives. God made a promise for us for a full and eternal life through Jesus Christ. No, we aren't there yet, but it is time to raise up our prayers to God. It is time to pour our hearts out to God, to offer Him all that we are, and to live into that promise. To live into the promise of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of our lives. So I invite you just to take a couple of moments of silence now to lift up your hearts, your most fervent prayer, your most deepest desire, to lift that up and offer it to God. Ask God to answer your prayer and expect that God will answer it. And that as God answers your prayer, you will be given an opportunity to give something back to God that will restore you and all of those around you. That's the good news of the gospel. Let us pray.